Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, I'll be reading verses 24 to 37. It's a pretty tough passage before us. It's one of the passages that seem to be inconsistent with the character of Christ. He refers to a woman as a dog. So hopefully we can wrestle through this through the Spirit of God. Mark chapter 7, starting with verse 24. Listen to the eternal Word of God. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as he heard about it, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven, and with a deep sigh he said, "Ephatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loose, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. But the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." That's where we'll end the reading of God's eternal Word. After I graduated from college here at Geneva, I moved to Philadelphia. I lived in Philadelphia for a year. I was a part of a volunteer program there in the schools of West Philadelphia. And during the year that I spent there, I met two guys, one from South Africa and one from Botswana, just north of South Africa. These were two teenagers going to this high school. And after a few years, after they had been there in Philadelphia for a few years, they came to realize and they came to recognize a general laziness among their fellow classmates. And to them, it didn't make sense. Here, kids have many opportunities, but they end up not doing much with their lives. They squander these opportunities. These two boys came from countries where there were limited opportunities. They had to work hard to get anywhere. But here in the United States, there were comparably limitless opportunities, but they watched as their classmates sort of squandered them and passed them by. Well, these two guys, these foreigners, were eager. And they were going to come and they were going to scoop up these opportunities that have been missed and squandered by their own fellow students, these students who were passing them by. These foreigners ended up coming and taking the jobs and the opportunities. Oftentimes when we grow up in relative luxury, where there's lots of opportunity, it's easy for us to take it for granted. Oftentimes we fail to appreciate what we have until it's actually gone, until it's taken away from us. This is very similar to what happened with the Jews and the Pharisees at the time of Christ. They grew up very privileged. They had the Word of God, the prophets, the promises, the temple. But even though they had all these things, they grew arrogant. They took all these things for granted. They didn't really appreciate who God was. They didn't appreciate His gospel. And when Jesus came along to minister to them, He hated them. They rejected Him, and ultimately they crucified Him on the cross. And as a result, since these Jews rejected the gospel, God sent it to the Gentiles. God took it away from the Jews and gave it to foreigners. The Jews took it for granted, but the Gentiles were now eager for it. In this passage, Jesus talks about children and dogs. He refers to the Jewish people as children and the Gentiles as dogs. The arrogant Jewish children took God for granted, but the eager Gentile dogs, they were eager for what Christ had. They were eager for the gospel. They wanted Christ to come. When Jesus was rejected by the Jews, he went to the Gentiles. He gave them a small taste of what would soon be theirs in full. He gave them a small taste of the gospel. Here in the United States, we have a great heritage. This country was built on Christian foundations, on Christian principles. Christian foundations were laid hundreds of years ago, but they're beginning to erode away. And you may not have grown up, you may or may not have grown up in a Christian home, but there are Christian influences all around you. And in many ways, we're a lot like the privileged Jews. We have the Word of God everywhere. It's easily accessible. We have many opportunities to hear about Christ. The gospel is before us. But the question is, how will you respond? Will you take it for granted like the Jews? Will you reject it? I'm too good for this. Or are you going to be eager and eat it up like the Gentiles? How will you respond? Will you reject it like a picky child, or will you consume it like an eager dog? So Jesus has just finished locking horns with the Pharisees and the experts of the law. That's what happened in the passage just before this. It was probably the harshest exchange that he had had ever with the Pharisees and with these experts of the law. The Pharisees were trying to discredit him. They're trying to bring him down. But when they accused him, in this situation, when they accused him, he called them hypocrites, actors, pretenders. They were pretending to love God, but their hearts were far from him. On the outside, they looked like followers of God, but on the inside, they were dead. Well, Jesus is worn out with all these confrontations. The disciples are worn out. And you may remember a few times when Jesus and his disciples tried to remove themselves from the crowds and get some rest, but it always seems that their rest is cut short because people continue to follow them. Well, here in this passage, Jesus again intends to get some rest. He's not only exhausted from ministering to these massive crowds of needy and broken people, but he's also exhausted from these exchanges from the Pharisees. Imagine having two or three people constantly follow you around looking for an occasion to correct you, trying to find something that you're doing wrong, something that doesn't quite live up to their standards, and every time they find something, a little flaw that they don't agree with, they jump all over you. They get in your face about it. This is exactly what the Pharisees were doing to Jesus. And it would be exhausting to constantly have these people confront him. Instead of trying to find a place to rest within the region of Galilee, which is becoming more and more impossible because he's becoming so popular, he heads far north. And although his disciples aren't mentioned here, he's likely with them. They head way outside the boundaries of Israel. Up until now, Jesus has stayed within the region of the Jews, within the region of Galilee, or very near it. But now they go way outside the boundaries of the Jews, the boundary of that region, and they go to the region of Tyre. Tyre is about 20 miles northwest of the region of Galilee, of the Sea of Galilee, of Capernaum, where Jesus spent most of his time. He went so far away, particularly because he didn't want anyone to notice him. He figured if he went to the Gentiles, he could actually get some rest. He didn't want to cause a stir. But even among the Gentiles, it was impossible for him to escape notice. Although Jesus had spent most of his time in Galilee ministering to the Jews, his fame had also spread to the surrounding regions of Galilee. As Jesus ministered to the crowds in Galilee, it says in Luke chapter 6 that there were many from Jerusalem, many from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, which is where he went to, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. You see, the area of Israel, God placed Israel in this place, in this area of the world, so that they could be a crossroads to the world. the area of Galilee and Israel was actually quite a crossroads of the ancient world. Merchants and businessmen would often pass through there to either go down to Egypt or from Egypt up to the rest of the known world. And so there were people from different nationalities always passing through, traveling through. And so as a result, they got to see Jesus. They got to hear the stories. They got to hear Him teach. And then they would take that and they would go to their Gentile homes and spread the word from there. So Jesus' fame spread far beyond the borders of Galilee, far beyond the borders of the Jews. And so as a result, He couldn't keep from being noticed, even though He's 20 miles away in Gentile territory. Well, in this land, in this region, there was a woman living in the area. She was a Greek, a Gentile. She was a native to that region. The region is also called the Syrophoenician region. And in Matthew, this woman is also called a Canaanite. If you remember back to Old Testament history, the Canaanites were enemies of the people of God. They were enemies of Israel. And it's clear that this woman is outside the community of Israel. She was not a descendant of Abraham. She was a woman with a pagan background. A Gentile. Mark gets that point across very clearly. She's not a part of the people of God. But yet she had a daughter who was possessed by a demon. And as a result, she had to see Jesus. Over the years, she watched this demon ravage her own daughter. Well, as soon as she found out that Jesus came into the area, she fell at His feet. She knew that Jesus had the power to cast this demon out, and so she pleaded with Him. She pleaded with Him to heal her daughter. Now, Jesus did this quite often in Galilee. He regularly cast out demons in Galilee, and it seems like He would have responded the same way to this woman who came and fell at His feet and was pleading with Him. You'd think that He would respond with compassion and healing, but here Jesus responds in a most perplexing way. In a way that's hard for us to make sense of. He said to her, "First, let the children eat all they want. For it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." Toss it to their dogs. These words seem very uncharacteristic of Christ. It's obvious what Jesus was inferring. Jesus is calling the people of Israel, the Jews, He's calling them the children. And then He's referring to this woman, along with all the other Gentiles, He's calling them dogs. "Shall I take the Jewish children's bread and toss it to you, you Gentile dogs?" What a shocking thing to say. Any of us would be offended if someone called us a dog. Seems so inconsistent with the gracious and gentle character of Christ. It looks like a slap in our face. How do we make sense of this? What is Jesus saying? What did He mean by this? Well, Jesus here is indicating a priority of who gets the gospel. Who gets to receive the gospel, to hear the gospel. Jesus came first to the Jews. He came first to proclaim the gospel to the people of Israel. Now, this shouldn't be shocking to us. Throughout the Old Testament, the people of Israel were regarded as the people of God. They were the chosen people. God chose to work with this very exclusive group of people. And as a result, these people had many, many privileges. God had built His temple in Jerusalem. No other nation had a temple of the living God in their midst. Only Jerusalem, only the Jews had that. Only the Jews had the Scriptures. The Jews were given the promises of God. God sent His prophets to Israel, to the Jews, and only on rare occasions did He send them to anyone else. Throughout history, God has focused on this exclusive group of people, this small nationality. And only on a few rare occasions did He include people from other nations. The people of Israel were still a priority to Jesus. He spent 99% of His ministry with the Jewish people. He came to minister to them, to set a huge feast in front of them, to feast on the gospel. He came to bring them salvation. He came to give them an abundant life. But this exclusiveness of the gospel was supposed to change with the coming of Christ. God always had a plan to include the nations around the world. When God made His covenant with Abraham, He said to Abraham, God said to him that through Abraham and his seed, referring to Christ, through Abraham and his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Through Jesus Christ, all the nations, not just Israel, not just this exclusive group of people, the Jews, but Jews and Gentiles alike would be blessed. One day the gospel would not be exclusive, but it would be inclusive. It would include people from all around the world. There are lots of prophecies about this inclusive gospel. We sang about it in Psalm 87. It says, God says in Psalm 87, the people of Babylon, the Philistines, the people of Tyre, the people of Egypt will be among those who acknowledge me and worship me. That's a list of the enemies of Israel. Time will come when they will acknowledge me and worship me. They'll be included among the people of God. In Psalm 67 it says, let your salvation be known among all nations. Isaiah chapter 2 gives a picture of a time when the temple of God will be built and the nations, people from all the nations, will stream to it. So there's this priority. First, Jews. And then the Gentiles. First, the Jews get all they want and then the Gentiles will get what's left over. The Apostle Paul, in the book of Romans, he wrote that the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe, first for the Jew, and then for the Gentile. So Jesus is simply affirming and acknowledging this priority. Jews, and then Gentiles. Notice here that Jesus said, first let the children eat all they want. He's not shutting the door in our face. He's not saying, no way, I'm not doing that. Get out of here. You're not getting any of this. No, what he's saying is wait. Wait. Let the children eat first and then you'll be fed. Very soon the feast will be set before you. You'll feast on what the children have left over. Very soon I'm going to die and rise again. I'm going to conquer death. And at that point the gospel is going to go out to all nations. The Jews had the priority, the gospel first. The gospel was first given to them. That's why Jesus was primarily ministering to the Jews. Let them eat all they want, but when they're done, you're going to get what's left over. Very soon the gospel is going to come to you. And when Jesus did die and He rose again, He appeared to His disciples. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now go, make disciples of all nations. That's the transition point. That's when that barrier, that wall was broken down between Jews and Gentiles. The children were done eating. The leftovers now are given to everyone. Jesus was presented to everyone. So here's this picture that Jesus paints. Here's this picture. He's prepared this amazing feast for the children, the Jews. And they're all sitting around the table. They're ready to feast. And scattered around the room are the little house dogs. The word that Jesus uses here aren't for the scavenger dogs that are outside, but they're the house dogs. The dogs that are really a part of the family. Their eyes are fixed on this feast as well. And they know that whatever the children don't eat, it's going to be given to them. So this Greek woman comes to Jesus, pleading with Him to heal her daughter. Her daughter who's demon-possessed, and His reply is no. Not yet. Not yet. It's not yet time for the Gentiles to be fed. These are obviously pretty harsh words. And this woman could have given up at this point. She could have turned around, offended, wanted nothing to do with Jesus. She could have been offended at Jesus calling her a dog. But instead she took advantage of this analogy. This analogy of children and dogs. She said, yes, Lord, I know. I know the children are to eat first. But even the dogs under the table eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. This woman cannot wait. Her daughter's life is being sucked away by this demon who has possessed her. So she uses this analogy for her advantage. She says, yes, generally speaking, yes, that's true. It's not time for the dogs to be fed, for me to be fed. But even before the children are done eating, the house dog still gets to eat the crumbs that fall from the table. There is an exception to this rule. Give me a small taste of that salvation that's going to come in full. If the blessings are in store for tomorrow, let me have a few crumbs of that today. Please, don't make me wait. I need you now. My daughter needs you now. The children aren't done eating, no, but let me have the crumbs. She's eager. She's persistent. And Jesus rewards her. He says, for such a reply, the demon has left your daughter. What he did is he took scraps from the table and he gave her some. He was showing her his grace before it was time. Before it was time to include the Gentiles, he was scattering crumbs to the dogs. And he does this again after he heals her daughter. After his stay in the region of Tyre, he went south to the region of the Decapolis. The region of 10 cities. And the people there in the Decapolis, they know about Jesus. And one of the reasons why they know about Jesus is because there was a man who Jesus had healed earlier. Remember the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was held captive by thousands of demons. But Jesus healed this man. He cast those demons out. He freed him from that bondage. And this man wanted to follow Jesus. Let me go with you. But Jesus told him no. No, go home and tell everyone what the Lord has done for you. And it says that he went throughout all the Decapolis and told what Jesus had done for him. So these people knew about the power of Jesus. They knew this man that Jesus had healed. They knew his power, so they brought to him a man who was deaf and a man who could not speak. Jesus took him aside in private and away from the crowd, and he healed him. He gave these Gentiles more scraps from the table. He was scattering crumbs to the dog. It wasn't yet their turn to eat, but he's given them a small taste of what awaits them, what will very soon be theirs. This pattern of scattering crumbs to the Gentiles has been God's pattern throughout history. Throughout history, God is obviously focused on the Israelites, but throughout history, He has regularly scattered crumbs to the Gentiles. He has not forgotten about the Gentiles. You remember the story of Jonah? Where was Jonah sent? God sent him to the city of Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, a Gentile and pagan city. And he warned them of God's wrath, and what happened? They repented and they were saved. God scattered these crumbs to the Gentiles. Or when Rahab the Canaanite was saved when the people of Israel conquered the land of Canaan. Or what about Ruth? She was a Moabite. But yet she was included among the people of God. Throughout history, God has this pattern of scattering crumbs to the dogs, to the Gentiles. Yeah, His focus has been on the people of Israel, but He's giving the Gentiles a small taste of what soon will be theirs in full. So Jesus follows this pattern as well. Today, you and I, we live in a very privileged part of history. We're privileged because most of us, the majority of us by far, are Gentiles. But we don't simply get some crumbs here and there. But now we have the whole feast set before us. If we lived back in the Old Testament times, all of us who are not Jewish, we would be those dogs. We'd be serving those idols, those false gods, living in ignorance, getting a crumb every once in a while, but Christ has come. He died, He rose again, and now the gospel has exploded all over the world. He's calling people from all nations. He's calling people like you and me. The gospel is no longer exclusive to this small group of people. But now it's inclusive. It includes people from all nations and all languages, all tribes, people like you and me. You get to feed on the gospel. Not as a dog, but as a child. God makes us children, His own children. He invites us to the table and we feast on the salvation that Christ has given to us. Now this passage that Jesus, about Jesus leaving the region of Galilee, the region of the Jews, and going to the Gentiles, it has a definite connection with the passage that came right before it. In the passage just before this, Jesus had been locking horns with the with the Pharisees, with the Jews, the experts of the law. He'd been locking horns with them. The Pharisees were confronting them. The Pharisees were out to get Jesus. They didn't like Him. He was teaching things that they were against. And so every time He taught something that they didn't think was kosher, they jumped all over Him. Well, here Jesus has come to them. He's come to the people of Israel. He set this massive feast before them. But they can't enjoy it. They're too busy picking away at what He has to say. They're too busy trying to trip Him up, trying to tear Him down. They didn't want anything He had to offer. Jesus came proclaiming this amazing gospel, the gospel of salvation, and they didn't want it. They rejected Him. Well, as a result of this rejection, what happened? Jesus went to the Gentiles. He was rejected by the Pharisees, by the children, and so He went to the dogs, to the Gentiles. To carry on the analogy that Jesus uses, the Jews, these children, were sitting at the table. There's an enormous feast on the table, the best foods, the salvation of God, they get to feed on it completely. But they're like a 6-year-old child who's picky about everything that they eat. They pick at it, they taste a little bit of it, but they hate it. They're offended by it, they don't want to eat it, they refuse to eat it. They're too good for that kind of food. The children reject the gospel. They reject the words of life, they reject Jesus Himself. And so as a result, He goes, He leaves these arrogant children, and He goes to the eagerly awaiting dogs. And they eat it up. The feast was meant for the children, but it was given to the dogs because the children didn't want any part of it. Jesus was tired from this arrogant opposition that He received from the Jews, and so He went to the Gentiles. And really, this is ultimately what happened with Christ. His entire life. Jesus came to bring salvation to the Jews, to give them an abundant life. But what ultimately happened? Although Jesus had gained lots of followers for a time, what ended up happening was He was ultimately rejected by the Jews as a whole. They condemned Him. They crucified Him. He was rejected by the very people He came to feed. So as a result of that rejection, the gospel went out to the Gentiles. Even in the book of Acts, the Jews hated the disciples of Christ. They were preaching the gospel, preaching salvation through Christ. And quickly, persecution grew. And as a result, these Christians were scattered all over the world. The gospel went out to all the Gentiles in the providence of God. It says in Romans chapter 10 and 11, God said that all day long He held out His hand to an obstinate and disobedient people. They had all the privileges, but they rejected Me. Therefore, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. Because of Israel's rejection of Christ, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. These foreigners have come in and taken, been given what the children have rejected. The Jews rejected God's most precious gift, the Son of God, and as a result it was given to foreigners. God made the foreigners the ones who are privileged. In God's great providence, the whole reason why we Gentiles are saved is because Israel rejected Christ. They rejected the gospel, and now unworthy dogs like you and me, unworthy Gentiles, we are invited to the table to feast as His children. Picture a six-year-old kid. The best foods are on the table, but he hates it. And with a sour face, he refuses to eat it. But the family dog, he's sitting a few feet away, eager. His eyes are on that food. He's wishing for that food. Well, eventually the food is taken from that stubborn child and thrown to the dog. And he eats it up before it even hits the ground. He was so eager for it. The child was so picky. And what happens? The child is left starving and the dog is well fed. Which one is the fool? Right now, I offer you the gospel. The only way of salvation. I offer you Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can save you from your sin. He's the only one who can save you from God's wrath. I offer you this feast. I offer you life with God. I spread it before you. On the table there are dishes and serving platters of unlimited grace, unlimited forgiveness, spilling over with eternal hope and everlasting joy. You'll have purpose, a reason to be alive. And the main entree is God Himself. You get God. Life with God. There is nothing better. And I tell you exactly what Jesus told the people there. He said, repent and believe the gospel. Now the question is, how are you going to respond to this feast? Like that foolish, ignorant, spoiled, picky child who with a sour face won't eat any of it? Are you going to reject this feast? Are you going to continue to go hungry, to do your own thing, to think, you know, this isn't for me. No, I don't want this. Or are you that eager dog, ready to consume everything that's given to you? Are you ready to feast on the gospel? Those of you who don't know God, are you going to squander another opportunity to turn to Christ? Are you going to make a sour face and just reject it all again? Are you going to continue to go hungry? Are you going to reject it like these arrogant Jewish children? Are you hungry? Are you ready to devour it like those Gentile dogs? Are you ready for Christ? This is your time. Or how about you kids who've grown up in the church? You know all this stuff. You know much about the Bible. You know who Jesus is. You're very privileged. But you may be like these Jews. You may take it all for granted. You may have turned into this spoiled, proud, stubborn child who turns his face up at going to church and turning your face up at reading the Bible and hearing about Jesus. Are you eager to follow Christ? It's not too early. Do you just hate this stuff? You push Jesus away? Are you eager to eat it up like these Gentiles? How will you respond? What about the rest of you? You know Christ, but you've sort of grown comfortable with Christianity. You've grown less than eager to feed on Christ, to feed on His Word every day. You're becoming more and more picky. You don't feed on the Word of God regularly. You don't pray. You don't spend time with the people of God. You don't spend time in the presence of God. You don't remind yourself of the gospel every day. And slowly, your eagerness is turning into apathy. Is this happening to you? Don't be lulled to sleep. Be that dog, eager to fill his mouth with the gospel. Let's be a congregation that's eager for the gospel, to consume everything that's given to us. To consume the Word of God, to consume His grace. To feed on it every day of our lives. All of us, we are privileged. We have heard the Word of God. The Word of God is before us. You've heard the gospel, but the question is, how will you respond? Will you be eager like this woman? Or will you be arrogant like those children, the Jews? How will you respond? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank You for Jesus Christ. And for this amazing feast that He's given to us. The feast of the gospel. Without this feast, we would wither away and die. We would still be under Your wrath, ready to suffer, looking hell in the face, ready to suffer for all eternity. But in your great grace, in your great love, you've given him to us. You've given Jesus Christ to us to save us, to save us from our sin, to save us from your wrath. Please let us constantly feed on the gospel of Jesus Christ, reminding ourselves of the grace that you give to us and resting on that grace every step that we take, every moment of every day. Please do this in our lives for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.